There are three readings today. The first is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Second reading is Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 to 13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Final reading is Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Christ is all. Very short, three words, but they contain a lot. And the second point I want to bring out this morning is that Jesus inspires us. As Christ loves his people to rest in him, to call on him, and to abide in him. Words from John 15:11. We must therefore strive to do more and more. Do we wait for somebody to inspire us and enable us to move forward? We require inspiration to come alive in Christ, do we not? For in Christ we can do anything that he asks us to do. Yes, Jesus became like us so that we might become like him. Jesus inspired a wealthy cheat to give his money back, a Samaritan woman to become an evangelist. He inspired Peter to get out of the boat. He inspired four friends of a paralytic to get their friend to Jesus. Yes, Jesus waits. Jesus wants to inspire us. His message, the message of Jesus, is that there is a transcendent God and that the character of this God is love. He is the Father who runs towards his wayward son. Yes, Jesus loves. Jesus inspires. So may we, by grace, inspire one another to live with Christ, to live to Christ. We complicate our lives, even our faith, in so many ways, but our purpose in life is really quite simple. We are called to love, so let us value what God values. So doing, we shall prove that we fully realize that Christ is all. we shall feel a great peace. But alas, there are many of the Lord's people who live far below their privileges. There are many who rob themselves of their own peace and forsake their own mercies. There are many who insensibly join their own faith or the work of the Spirit in their own hearts to Christ, and so miss the fullness of gospel peace. There are many who make little progress in their pursuit of holiness and shine with a very dim light simply because they do not make Christ all in all. Each of us will face fear at some point. It is what we do with that fear that matters most. We must claim our privileged position as God's children. We will then have the power to overcome fear when we apply His word of love to our lives. We must beware of allowing anything to mingle, anything of our own, with Christ. If we have faith, it is a priceless blessing. Happy indeed are we when ready to trust. But we must take heed not to make a Christ of our faith. We rest not on our own faith, but on Christ. Is there a reworking of the Spirit in our souls? Thank God for it. For it is the work that shall never be overthrown. But beware if we make a Christ of the work of the Spirit, for we rest not on the work of the Spirit, but on Christ alone. If we have the inward feelings of religion and experiences of grace, we must thank God for it. But again, we must beware making a Christ of our feelings and sensations, for these are uncertain things dependent on circumstances. Again, we are to rest only on Christ. Therefore, we must look more and more to the great object of our faith, Jesus Christ. In so doing, we shall deepen our faith, and all our other graces will grow too. Let God plan for us. Then He takes responsibility. For as He says in Exodus 18 and 18, "This thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." The words of the text are few. Christ is all. Short, but they contain great things. As Paul says in Philippians and Galatians, "To me to live is Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Philippians 1:21 and Galatians 2:20. These words are rich and suggestive. These three words are the essence and substance of Christianity. When our hearts go along with them, it is well with our souls. Christ is all in the inspired books that make up the Bible. First of all, we must understand that Christ is all in all the counsels of God concerning man. Let us remember that there was a time when man, with all the high thoughts he has of himself, did not exist. In the second place, we must see that Christ is all in the inspired books that make up the Bible. In all the parts of the Old and New Testament, is not Christ to be found? clear from the beginning with the acts of creation in Genesis. Life examples and lessons with God's promises fully and completely, really and substantially, everywhere we may look. In the third place, Christ must be all in all in the religion of all true believers. There is perfect harmony and unison of action with the three persons of the Trinity. Christ is set forth as the Word, through whom God's love for sinners is made known. Christ's atoning death on the cross is the great cornerstone on which the whole plan of our salvation rests. Christ is the way, the door, by which alone approaches to God can be made. Christ is the only meeting place between God and man, between heaven and earth. Between a holy Trinity and us, Christ is all in a sinner's justification before God. Through him alone we can have peace with a holy God. We have no other plea than this. Christ died on the cross for the ungodly, and we trust in him. Christ died for us, for you and I, and we believe on him and by him. No one of us can grow in holiness except he or she abides in Christ. Christ is the great root from which every believer must draw their strength to go forward. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The Spirit of God's special gift, his purchase gift for his people. A believer must not only receive Christ as Lord, but walk in him and be rooted and built up in him. Colossians 2:6-7. The only way for us to be strong is to realize our weakness and to know, to let Christ be all in every situation that comes our way. Then the true way to grow in grace is to make use of Christ as a fountain for every minute's necessities. We should strive to be able to say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Again, to learn to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Christ is all in our comfort in the present. Jesus is indeed a brother born to adversity. What shall enable a believer to bear all things? Nothing but the consolation there is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Jesus can be touched, and certainly is, with the feelings of our infirmities, for he suffered himself. He knows what sorrow is, for he is a man of sorrows, a Saviour acquainted with grief. Jesus knows exactly how to comfort his afflicted people, you and I. He knows how to treat the wounds of our spirit. how to fill the gap in empty hearts, how to speak a word in season to the weary, how to heal the brokenhearted, how to make all our beds of sickness, how to draw nigh when we are faint, and say, "Fear not, I am your salvation." Many of us could say, as David did in Psalm 74, "If the Lord himself had not stood by me, the deep waters would have gone over my soul." We all have been disappointed at some time, but no one was ever disappointed in Christ. But as Christ is all in the comfort of the true Christian in times present, so Christ is all in our hope for the time to come. The true Christian sees God's light in the distance. And what is our hope? It is just this: as we are blessed to know that Christ is coming again, coming to gather together all his family, that we may be forever with him. We are patient because we look to the coming of the Lord. We try to be moderate in all things because we expect our Lord to come soon. This is indeed our blessed hope. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, we now see the object of our Christian faith is not to sin less, but to glorify God more. Now is the tossing of a troublesome world, then the quiet harbour, now the time of sowing, then the harvest. We may talk of our expectations and hopes, yes, but none are solid except that of a saved soul. Psalm 62, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him." The presence of Christ himself shall be one everlasting enjoyment of the inhabitants of heaven. We shall see his face, hear his voice, and speak to him as friend to friend. His presence will satisfy all our wants. Psalm 17. We look forward to that great day when we shall see Jesus as he is, when we will all be transformed into his glorious image. But we must not rest until we have actually tasted for ourselves that the Lord is gracious. Then we shall find, if we are really in earnest, that Christ is all. Alas, there are many of the Lord's people who live below their privileges, robbing themselves of their own peace and forsake their own mercies, make little progress in the pursuit of holiness, and therefore shine with a very dim light, simply because we do not make Christ all in all. We must beware of allowing ourselves to mingle anything of our own with Christ's teaching. Having a solid faith is a precious blessing, ready and willing to trust Jesus, but we must take heed not to make a Christ of our faith, for we rest not on our own faith, but on Christ. To learn to look more and more at the great object of our faith, Jesus Christ, and to keep our minds dwelling on him, for by so doing we prove our faith, and all the other graces will grow. Not an easy exercise, but a very rewarding one. We will truly become strong only when we depend on Christ's offered strength. Christ loves his people to lean on him, to rest in him, and to call on him, to abide in him. Let us then live to Christ, for in so doing we shall prove that we really realize that Christ is all. In so doing we shall experience a great peace and attain more and more that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12. The necessary to pursue peace is always before us. Is not God working in us that enables us to do anything worthwhile for his kingdom? Identification with Jesus brings undeniable blessings, but it will bring reproach from the world. We all know and love Psalm 23, where our Lord presents himself as a shepherd of his flock. God being our shepherd and fears, we shall lack no, not anything that is good for us. We can come to God in faith and receive his pardon and grace, and know by experience the care and affection of a good shepherd towards his flock. Why would we ever leave such a wonderful God? We can now look ahead and see more clearly where we glimpse our place at God's side forever. Let us unpack together Psalm 23 to illustrate some of the points made earlier. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how Jesus wants it to be that way. The psalmist here claims a relationship to God as his shepherd. He, David, then recounts his experiences of the kind things God has done for him as his shepherd, for us also as our Saviour and Lord. God makes us lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me. Further, the psalmist infers, I shall not be found in want. I shall want not. That we need not fear any evil. I fear no evil. For God will never leave or forsake us in the way of mercy. And therefore, may we resolve never to forsake God in any way of duty. Verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will return and dwell with the Lord forever. The psalmist presents Christ dying for his sheep. He represents Christians receiving the benefit of all the care and tenderness of the great and good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. John 10:11. If Jesus willingly gave his life to save ours, why should we ever think he would ever keep back from us anything that was truly benefit us? We have the comforts of this life from God's good hands. God calls us to do good to others so that they might see his goodness in us. But unless we live by his faithfulness, stay in fellowship with him, we will have little to offer. For true happiness, we find, is found in trusting God. But we must know the shepherd's voice to be able to follow him. Only then can we dare say, I shall not want. More is implied than is expressed, For not only I am the good shepherd, I know my own and my own know me. I know he suggests an intimate relationship with Jesus. I shall not want, but I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, then may conclude it is neither not fit for me, or good for me, or I shall have it in due time. Devout souls have cast the counsel and comfort of the psalm into the context of their own calling. For me, the significance of the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd," cannot and should not be overlooked. A different translation, or a translation back to the English from another tongue, like this, from the First Nation Indian of North America: "The great Father above is a shepherd chief. I am his, and with him I want not. He throws out to me a rope, and the name of that rope is love. And he draws me, and he draws me to where the grass is green and the water not dangerous. And I eat and lay down satisfied." Or by Henry Van Dyke: "The Lord is my teacher. I shall not lose my way. He leadeth me in the lowly paths of learning. He prepares a lesson for me every day. He bringeth me to a clear fountain of instruction. Little by little he shows me the beauty of truth. He taketh me by the hand to the hilltop of vision, and my soul is glad when I perceive his meaning." Or by Captain Roberts: "The Lord is my pilot, I shall not drift. He lights me across the dark waters. He steers me in deep channels. He keepeth my log. He guideth me by the star of holiness for his name's sake. Our shepherd, our saviour, our teacher, restorer and pilot." But we know life is not all rest. Our restoration is for a purpose. The road lies ahead and must be covered. "He leadeth me in paths that are straight for his name's sake." Because God is who and what he is, and because he will be known to be what he declares himself to be. The rest and refreshment, the still waters and green pastures, were all for this, that we may have the strength to follow him in paths that are straight. God both leads us into them and leads us in them. Some people would take up their permanent abode here, where God would give them temporary rest. But God will not have it so. He has made provision for every hour of need. Evil will not fear in any form. He is with us, a staff and a rod the shepherd carries. One might ask, why both? Well, upon the staff the shepherd leans for rest, and the end is fashioned like a crook, which he uses in many ways to aid the sheep. The crook round the hind legs can pull a sheep back from a precipice edge. The rod is a weapon used to protect himself and the sheep. The shepherd is there with his rod, and that rod symbolizes his power, and it's the staff symbolizes his love. Both are there, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. His rod will smite my fears, and on his staff I will be able to lean. The hymn writer has also added that his love is as great as his power. Only the word of the living God can avail now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We may weep and do, but not as those who have no hope. Sometimes my heart is very weak, and I fall down. But he lifts me up again and draws me on to a good road. His name is wonderful. His presence shall comfort. His word and his spirit shall comfort. In the valley also he walks beside me. In the dark place he whispers to my heart. Even though my lesson be hard, it is not hopeless, because knowing that we are eternally in the care of a good shepherd makes all the difference. True, we cannot always see goodness and mercy up ahead, but when we look back behind us, we see them, God's acts of mercy, so clearly. Our hopes raised, our faith is strengthened by being exercised. Those who live with God are set free from fear. By releasing control, we surrender ourselves to his care, knowing that our good shepherd will walk us even through the shadow of the valley of death, where we will fear no evil, than to come to dwell in his house forever. Jesus carried to earth the message of God's complete goodness towards us. When we live with God, when we are united with him and experience his goodness and love, any fear loses its grip on our soul. What a blessing as we live in a very troubled world for whom God loves. He loves to the end. There is an interesting verse in Psalm 21. For you have made him, the believer, most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. The glory which every good person is ambitious of is to see the salvation of God. God will... God will give Jesus the God has given Jesus the satisfaction of being the channel of blessing to mankind. God invites us to ask him for things, but even the things he gives us cannot make us truly happy. Only his presence will do that. For the deepest delights are found only in him, where we are well guided and well provided for. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Sometimes it may be very soon. It may be longer. He will draw me into a place between the mountains. It is dark there, but I will draw back not. I will be afraid not, for it is in there, between the mountains, that the shepherd's chief will meet me, and the hunger that I have felt in my heart all through this life will be satisfied. Yes, God restores our souls. The full impact of Psalm 23. How does he do this? God restores our souls through fellowship with himself. In restoring our souls, God is the providing shepherd, but he is also the pardoning shepherd. Trust for today. Hope for tomorrow. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, in the way of my duty, and that he instructs by his word and directs by our conscience. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the midst of danger, in the valley of the shadows, deep indeed and dark, but these valleys are fruitful, for it is a walk through it. The good shepherd will not only conduct, but convoy his child through the valleys. His presence shall comfort us, for you are with me. His word and his spirit, they comfort. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. We know, do we not? Our hope is, and our faith is strengthened by being exercised. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. It shall follow you and I, all of us, as long as life will last. For whom God loves, those he rejoices in, that love he loves to the end. The psalm opens in a lovely pastoral atmosphere. God is the shepherd. The psalmist thinks of himself as a sheep. Our Lord said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. To recognize who is calling and follow. Oh, if you have ever seen the eastern shepherd leading his thirsty flock to waters, not driving them, leading them, we would never forget it. It is a supreme picture of God dealing with a needy soul. He restores my soul. Food and drink he provides. Rest from the heat of the day. Even though my lesson be hard, it is not hopeless. For the Lord is patient with his slow scholar. He will wait a while for our weakness and help us to read through tears if necessary. Devout souls have cast the counsel and comfort of this psalm into the context of their own calling. This is the ship's captain. The Lord is my pilot. I shall not drift. He lighteth me across the dark waters. He steereth me in deep channels. He keepeth my log. He guideth me by the star of holiness for his name's sake. Yea, though I shall sail amidst the thunders and tempests of life, I shall dread no danger, for thou art near me. Thou preparest a harbour before me in the homeland of eternity. Thou anointest the ways with oil. My ship rideth calmly. Surely sunlight and starlight shall favour me on the voyage I take, and I shall rest in the port of God forever. If Jesus designs to think of us as sheep, who are we to resent the term? How often do we wander from the fold? How heedless we can be of the shepherd's voice. How foolish we judge the grass to be greener in some other field. Isaiah 40. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. For my part, I accept it. First, because my Lord used it of me. And secondly, because I feel in myself it is true. I trust we will all be able to context this psalm into our lives and say with godly conviction and hence great comfort, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall want no good thing. This is why the Christian can often through tears sing under any circumstances, green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be over where the dark clouds have been. May our Saviour's name be ever praised. Let us pray. Father God, don't let any of us shrink back from your way, neither from the weariness nor from the danger of it. You put your hand upon my head and all my tiredness is gone. My cup is filled till it runs over. You, Lord, are longing to be our shepherd. Thank you. We have the power to overcome fear when we welcome your grace into our lives. In the extremity of our darkness, may we look up and see the star. Amen.